Today's sermon is entitled Recipe for Your Life. And this got me to thinking of the idea that recipes are often times for imaginative creations, especially if you get midway through a recipe and you realize that you're missing a vital ingredient to that and you don't have time to go to the store. You might have to figure out what you can substitute. So you need to use your imagination. And it is a test in some ways of how good your imagination is. And this got me to thinking a lot about the importance of imagination, not only in the Christian life, but in life in general. When Jennifer and the girls and I were on vacation a few weeks ago, we stopped at a rest area in New York State. And the girls went in to get some lunch, and we had the dog in the car, so I sat in the car. And as I was sitting in the car, a woman pulled into the spot next to us, and she had a very sporty red automobile and had a collie dog with her, and she had the windows down. It was a warm day, and she said, "Juno," which was the dog's name, she said, "Juno, I'm going to get you some chicken nuggets." And she slammed the car door, and she walked away and went into the McDonald's at the rest area. And a few moments later, I noticed that Juno, who had been in the passenger seat, had jumped over into the driver's seat and must have either put the car into neutral or she didn't put the brake on. And Juno is sitting in the driver's seat and the car is rolling down the road. And Juno's sitting as if he's driving the car. I don't know if a dog can smile, but he looked like he was smiling. And fortunately, there was no one in the way, and the car went up a curb a little bit and smashed into a sign and stopped. Thank goodness no one was hurt. And I went over to see if maybe I could pull the brake so that it wouldn't, I was hoping it wouldn't go any further, but there was a little bit of a grade. But Juno was not a friendly dog and did not allow me to do so. Now, if you would have told me before I went on vacation that the highlight of my vacation, or a highlight of my vacation, would be this interesting story about seeing a dog sitting in a driver's seat with a big smile on his face, I would have said, "No way, that's not possible." It would have been a failure of imagination on my part. But that's exactly what happened. So I got to thinking about the importance of imagination. I mean, imagination is so important. Just to see the children here on Sunday morning and to see their imagination, what they can do with a couple of pails and the noisy collection. And that got me to thinking about these Israelites in the wilderness. This quail and manna. Quail and manna, manna and quail, quail and manna. How long did it take before they got bored of getting quail and manna for supper in the wilderness? Was it like Thanksgiving where you had to eat the leftovers for weeks and weeks at a time? You know, you had quail sandwiches and then you made quail noodle soup and then you had QLTs for lunch. And I mean, you go on and on and on. Is it like Thanksgiving when finally you're so stuffed with turkey you can't imagine ever wanting to eat it again? But it seems to me that throughout this story from Exodus 16, there is a failure of imagination on the part of the Israelites. And not in my humorous example of the quail and manna, but a failure of imagination of the Israelites on how to know how God's heart works, what's in God's heart. They complain over and over again. The Israelites complain. They complain about the food. They complain about the desert. They complain about their safety. They complain about the portions. They complain about everything. And they failed to imagine a future that could be different. They failed to imagine a recipe where they were living in the promised land as free and loved and faithful people. And they couldn't put all the ingredients together. They couldn't see a way that tomorrow was going to be a better day, that the ingredients of today were going to make tomorrow better. Jennifer and I were in Germany in 2004. We went to the East German town of Guben, where we got to stay with the mayor of that town and his large family. In 1990, the year of reunification, Guben went from a population of 30,000 before unification to 20,000 today. And most of that loss was because young people left looking for jobs. Guben is a terribly economically depressed town. And the mayor took me around. He took me around to all these places, and you would not believe the poverty that I saw. The total city blocks, there were high rises, public housing kind of high rises, that were totally abandoned. They had nobody living in them anymore, maybe five apartments in a building with 200 apartments in it. And there were whole blocks that were just empty. It was like a ghost town. It was one of the most peculiar things I've ever seen in my life. And the mayor who took me on the tour of these places, who is a Christian, he said to me, "Here is my vision for this block. Here is what my imagination for what this will be in 20 years. Not what it is today, because today it's horrible. And today it's awful. And today it's run down. But I see something much greater here in 20 years. I see something healing here and powerful." And it was so amazing to me to drive around to these places where my first initial reaction was to see nothing but economic recession, and to see the ruin of a whole generation of lives, economic ruin. And he saw a better future. And it was kind of shameful to me for my own self, because he could see what I couldn't. He could see better days ahead of Gubin. He could see better things, and I couldn't. And that was because of his belief, his undying belief of the power of the church, of the power of Christ, of the power of God. And it's the same with the church. We have to have an imagination. You are here in part, it's not the only reason you're here, you are here in part because you've bought into the idea, into the imagination, that with vision and imagination, that this church can be a tool for transformation, that this neighborhood can be transformed, that we are here so that lives can be transformed, children can be taught the stories of the faith, souls can be saved, people can confess their belief in Jesus Christ. Unlike the Israelites in the desert, who were not there by choice, they were born into it most likely, or they had to go because their family went. They didn't really choose to go on the Exodus. You chose to be here this morning and devote part of your Sunday to worshiping God and supporting that vision and that imagination. Imagination and vision can be so healing. That's why I believe Jesus told stories that we call parables, because a parable doesn't have one nice, easy answer. A parable is actually very difficult to understand. Parables are kind of tough. But parables are unlocked only by using the imagination. It's remarkable to me that imagination can be used as the key to urban renewal in Germany, just as imagination can be used as the key to understanding a parable in Sunday school in Murraysville. And imagination can renew whole societies and nations and cultures. I went to a church meeting on stewardship yesterday, sponsored by the Penn West Conference. It was over at Trinity in Delmont. Part of our benevolence offering goes to support this kind of training. And the presenter was somebody I had not met before, Don Hill from Cleveland. And he said some very provocative things, and I'm still unpacking all the things that he went through. But there was one thing that I thought was very interesting. He talked about success in the church. And one of the things that stuck with me was he said, we need to define success in the church, and we need to be brave about doing that. Impact is another way he looked at it. He said, how many hungry people have we fed? How many conversations with strangers have we had in our neighborhood? How many invites to church have you made? In other words, he wants us to imagine a church where we can say that we took this offering this morning, and this offering actually helped to feed some people. We took this offering this morning, and our church is part of conforming to the image of the kingdom of God. That the church, in doing what the church should be doing with our imagination, is living the way Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Imagination is so important to do any one of those things, because on the face of it, the meek aren't blessed. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness aren't blessed. Why? Because the world is so difficult. The world is so hard. We're so burdened by society, by our own sins or failures, by our own losses, our own griefs, deaths of close family members. Yet this collection, this noisy collection that we took, helps children go to camp, helps children spend time in learning stories of the Bible. It goes to Lancaster Seminary, as I said, to help fund ministers to be the next generation of leaders. The third thing, Christian Associates of Southwestern Pennsylvania, was a group I'd never even heard of until a few months ago. And one of the things that they do, they've been around since the 60s, they bring the gospel to prisoners in the Allegheny County Jail. They have a gospel ministry program, getting Bibles in the hands of the prisoners in the Allegheny County Jail. That money's going to that. The overall recidivism rate for prisoners in the Allegheny County Jail, the amount of times they return, 70%. Yet for graduates of some of the programs of ministry that is offered by the Christian Associates of Southwestern Pennsylvania, is 12.5%. This offering is going to make a huge difference in people's lives. So imagine how many lives are changed just by those couple of buckets there. Imagine how many great things can be done. How many things you've helped change today. Because you're part of the recipe for God's reign. You're part of the recipe. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for supporting, and I mean that in the fullest sense of the word, financial support for Hills Church during the past 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever number of years. Because if you're here today, you've hung around and you've seen some of the rough times that all churches go through at some point or another. And you stuck around. You supported this congregation when perhaps it wasn't so easy to do that. And you believed that things would get better. And they have. And I want to thank you for giving, for supporting the ministry of Hills from the bottom of my heart, even during a tough economic time. I know that you work hard for what you give, and we appreciate that. And I want to thank you because I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I won't do myself. My wife and I try every week, even with all the bills, even with all the other things that we can spend money on, we try to tithe. That's the biblical model, 10% of what we earn. And I want to thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to do that. And I want to know that, I want you to know that we support you in your giving as well. And I want to thank you. I want you to know that your offering, your hard-earned money, your giving creates a future, creates a great point of imagination. I want to thank you that you support this imagining a future where we are working together, you and I, to see that the values of Jesus are made real, that his commands are made real here and now on this piece of soil. Thank you. Amen.